Hello there, this is Colin Baker and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And doesn't make... I'll do it again.
APP Services, Lavazzi at boop1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 414. I'm Adam, and I've been so busy I forgot to look up a quote. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
For the next hour and a half, we will examine the wave equations that define the creation of solid tachyonic images and watch an extremely boring Doctor Who story.
How dare you! Right, point deducted for Kirby when I get me jingle folder.
Hey. Oh, Kirby, that's a record, that one.
Yeah.
Debbie Melrose.
I hear they have non-gravity swimming pools.
And Mary Lang.
Harden, have a baby.
Oh, I could do one quote. That was all right at the end, wasn't it? Right. Yeah, I will let you off that. You're allowed to have an opinion, Kirby, even if it is wrong. I can't really deduct points for that. Yes, today we are live on the FantasyCon page. I have been advised when broadcasting live on such platforms that I'm supposed to actually give people advance notice. I don't do stuff like that. I just get on with it. Don't I, Deb? No, thank you for that. Interest in what I'm saying. That's perfectly unusual. For those who are Doctor Who fans, and we might get a couple watching the show, we are going to be reviewing Alastair Pearson's favourite story. That's The Leisure Hive.
Oh, dear.
Do we know, dear?
And why is it his favourite?
Yeah.
Well, if you go and listen back to episode 12 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, which was recorded about 9 years ago, you will... Oh, Lillian Robbins has just joined. Well done, Lillian. we've got two viewers. Anyway, yeah, so if you go back and listen to episode 12. Did I say watch? You could watch. It'd be a bit boring. Not much to watch. hello, Lillian.
Hi, Lillian.
You can listen to what Alistair... I'm pretty sure he does talk about the Leisure Hive on that episode. It was a long time ago, so you'll have to accept that my memory can't quite think back to the details of such interviews. Yes, Kirby?
Esther, you need to ask him, like, without us going back and listening to that, although I will, I want to know why.
Right, so get on the... Right, I'll text him then. Right then. God's sake. Just talk amongst yourselves, but I'm trying to do a podcast here. Alistair Pearson.
We could ask him at the end of August.
Yeah.
Well, no, we're doing the show now.
Right now. You're so reactive.
We are reviewing
Leisure Hive, and everybody didn't like it.
We don't know that everybody didn't like it. I strongly suspect everybody but Adam.
And Kirby. Kirby would like to know.
Through Cambridge now.
Why? Oh, to I would like to know. And shut up. why it's your.
Does that music come back again?
No. Never again.
Did you not watch
it's just
it, Debbie?
Stuck in my head is all.
As he hates it. There we go.
Isla started singing it. She's got no idea because she missed the last one. Why I keep singing Running Through Cambridge, cycling through Cambridge.
Guys, like, you're drifting.
Yeah?
You're drifting.
You said amongst ourselves that we were.
Yeah, but not about the last episode. Unless it generates listeners, in which case, carry on. Right then. So, yes, we're going to be looking at Leisure Hive. So we start with episode 1 in the conventional way. Lillian Robin says, I didn't like it either, sorry. And there's the theme tune. Do you know why the theme tune's on? Because I forgot to turn the volume down. This is the theme tune that I remember. It's the first time we don't have the classical Delia Derbyshire version of the theme. Which I like better than this.
It's one of my favourite versions of the theme.
It's really good. It's atmospheric. It's very 80s, isn't it? Which is rather topical because it was made in 1980.
Funny, this is when I remember watching this as well. Not this episode, but I remember Doctor Who for this theme tune, so yeah.
Right then, so
Master.
Oh god,
when I was watching with Fred the other night,
I was looking for my record
of the theme tune and couldn't find it, and then I remembered that It's on the wall. Signed by Davidson.
I had this. I had the single of this, which had Tom Baker on the in the cover. And then I had cool. the single of it that had Peter Davison on the cover.
Yeah, my single has Peter Davison.
Yeah. It's not a competition, cool. Kirby. Right then, are we, can we resume? I haven't even got yes. to the start of it yet. I've got a picture of Brighton Beach.
We're enjoying watching a whole bunch of tents for 5 minutes.
Oh, my God, that was like 5 minutes of tents.
Yeah, a full minute and a half.
Well done, Mary. I wondered who typed it.
Are you talking about the panning shot at the beginning of the episode?
Yes.
It was a very, very good panning shot, but a very, very boring panning shot.
Excuse me, Debbie. That's history, that is. There's actually a shot of Brighton Pier, which doesn't exist anymore.
I know. I saw that.
It's quite sad. Oh, how lovely it looks.
I love Brighton.
Well, you don't like it that much because you didn't want to see this lovely panning shot. And thanks to you, I pressed the wrong button, and then now I'm back at the beginning again.
Well, we'll have to listen to the theme tune again. Go.
That's the same here. It's just that they tore down that particular building, right?
It burned.
I just said, never mind. It's a burnt wreck now, isn't it?
Fires, and this was one of them.
Yeah, it burnt. So you'll probably look it up on Wikipedia as to when.
Master.
Yes.
The pier that you see behind the fake Tom Baker. Because that's just behind K9, that's West Pier. That's the one that burned down.
We know.
Yes, that's why I just said it. Right, I'm going to have to get my random my jingles folder up. This is getting beyond a joke. He's trying so hard to lose points, he might as well do some. Right then. Right, let's get the priority jingles folder, right, so we know where we are.
I thought you were referring to the pier that started the...
No. No, we were referring to the one that burnt down.
Yes, I agree. I know that West Pier burned down.
So, are we all in agreement that the West
Pier... Yes, we are all in agreement.
I did extensive research on piers. Right.
Kirby. Thank you. Right. Right, so now we know. In the second half of the show, ladies and gentlemen, we'll actually be reviewing Leisure Hive after talking about Kirby's disagreements in regarding the pier fires that have been in Blackpool.
I didn't know which one you were referring to. I'm sorry.
Not good enough. Is that not good enough, Debbie?
Oh, I'm taking the fifth.
What?
you don't have...
I'm taking it by proxy.
Right. I'm still in the panning shot. This panning shot was about a minute and a half, but it's actually taken about 8 minutes on the show to actually talk about. Right, anyway, panning shot. So, yes, we pan across a fairly fake Brighton Beach, because they've obviously put up these little tents and stuff just for the benefit. So one of them could look... Because they're very TARDIS shapes, aren't they?
They're brilliant, actually. They're like the ones out of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang that he gets changed in.
And in the background, we have a pier and a canine and a Tom Baker that isn't Tom Baker, apparently, and Romana wearing a hat that seems to have fallen off her head and it's stuck to her back somehow. And the horrible Romana, I have to say, horrible Romana, decides to kick a ball into the sea and ask an electronic dog that she's supposed to love to go and fetch it.
K9!
Yeah, and a stupid face when she pulls, when she does that as well.
I don't think she expected it to go in the water. She should have had enough programming to know that it couldn't go in the water.
Well, she threw it in that direction.
Lightest dog ever.
Oh, stop it, Abby.
Yeah.
Great explosion, though, but would have thought, just tip it over, that put the flames out, won't it? Poor K9.
I know, that was horrid.
Yeah. But it was nice to have John Leeson back.
It was nice to have John Leeson back. But he's going to be at FantasyCon, by the way, if anybody's watching. Yeah, so where did I get...
My pictures for FantasyCon, actually.
You what?
Am I allowed to go off and have pictures in FantasyCon, or am I...
You do if you pay for them, yes. Everybody
I will, yes, that's what I meant.
But as long as it doesn't clash with one of your chores, Debbie.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, they're supposed to be trying to have a holiday in Brighton. So I can actually skip forward a bit now, thanks to Kirby. And that's basically what they have a bit of a disagreement as to whether Brighton on this occasion is a particularly good holiday destination. I presume it's actually not in the middle of the winter because there's nobody there apart from them and the TARDIS.
Yeah, she said it was February, didn't she? She's like, you picked the wrong time, the wrong place.
Yeah. So then we see this weird sort of space shot of and this sort of, you know, it sort of the picture shrinks, and then we see this bright light, and we're on another planet, and with this this chap with green hair. In fact, they've all got these really strange barnets, haven't they? Green hair.
Well, we could gloss in over the fact that someone's watching the Doctor and Romana.
Well, that's what it was, but I didn't quite get that.
Because they're being watched, obviously, by the Black Guardian. Suddenly, the Black Guardian's becoming a feature again.
How do you know it's a Black Guardian, Debbie?
Because they were talking about him on the beach.
Okay, but how do you know?
We can't run from the Black Guardian forever. Well, yes, we can. We're chilling out, and then
that's the first time anybody, to me personally, has ever thought of it as being the Black Guardian. I've never thought of that. Kirby probably has.
I thought it as a reference, because obviously he's going to crop up a lot in this one.
I like that. That's a good explanation for
I'm not saying I don't like the explanation, but it's the first time I've heard anybody mention it.
Okay.
Very good.
That's
it's almost worth a point.
Oh,
I can't be bothered.
Lose that at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, the thing is that does explain what otherwise is an inexplicable shot.
I thought that was it because we're safe from the Black Guardian.
I didn't find it inexplicable, and I didn't think it was a Black Guardian. I just thought that they just wanted to do a fancy effect.
It's implied that this is going to be the story arc where the Black Guardian finally turns up.
A very long story arc if you're right. It's been 2 years before he actually turns up. I'm glad that actually implies that you haven't watched any of this series or the next one.
I'm just suggesting the fact that they were talking about him on the beach and how they're safe.
I can understand why you got that, but now we've said it, we now have to keep a lookout for such suggestions over the next three series of Doctor Who.
That's the way I'd write things anyway.
Okay. Right, well, that's interesting. I didn't get that. I just thought it was some sort of, let's pan away from Earth and move over to Argolis. Oh. What?
Master?
What?
The real reason is that they had this fancy new electronic editing gadget that they wanted to show off.
Which is what I said about 5 seconds ago, is it not?
Excuse me? He did just say that.
Why do I bother? I just move my mouth, make these funny noises that come out of it, and nobody listens.
It's because they're noises.
I was listening because I was trying to remember the name of the editing gadget.
One of the worst excuses I've ever heard. It was so bad it wouldn't even appear in one of Reese's books of excuses. Right, I've just got the scoreboard open now, so I'm just adjusting the scores.
Well, I mean, it also sets up, you know, the Doctor mentioning at the very end how the Argolans can keep the randomizer because he doesn't want it anymore.
Yeah because John Nathan Turner didn't want it, basically. He didn't want the Doctor not to be able to go where he wanted to go. So he ditched it, and very soon afterwards, a few other bits and bobs as well. Right, so Kirby Bartlett Sloan minus one. I'll let you off any others that you may have nearly got. So close that page down. Close that one down. Oh dear, there we go. Now I'm back to where I was.
I thought I got a point, but then you decided you didn't.
No,
like
I couldn't be bothered to give you that point. right then, so we're now on Argolis, which does rather look like one of those, you can go to these current retro 80s style discos. It actually does look like one of those. Because it would do, because it's in the 80s. And there's people, obviously these rather striking...
Coneheads.
What do you call them? Coneheads?
Yeah, they're a bit like, they reminded me, the shape of their heads reminded me of coneheads from the film.
Well, I actually quite like this makeup and this sort of... It reminded me of.
It was actually one of the more effective humanoid aliens, so yeah, I liked it.
It reminded me of the sort of human or sort of alien manifestation of the robots from Robots of Death. That sort of look for me. I don't know, I'm probably the only person in the world who thought that.
Yeah, it does.
Fred was amused by the seeds that pop off.
Yeah, I love that.
I like that too.
Thing. I think it was quite good. And obviously the rapid demise of people was an implication that was being manipulated by somebody. Anyway, we talked about David Haig last week, and he makes a swift appearance, or early appearance, I should say, in this particular story. And he's obviously one of the main government people. Now, the chap who was the main leader of the Argolans, who's currently not very well at the beginning of the story, he's... Wasn't he...
Johnny Ringo.
In the... Yeah, Johnny Ringo, but then he's later on, he's in the Two Doctors.
The Two Doctors.
Yeah. He doesn't look very well in this. In fact, he looks younger in the Two Doctors than he did than this one. But yeah, it's obviously they made him up to look ill.
But he's made up to look ill, isn't he?
Yeah. I just said that. No, it's funny you talk about him.
Makeup,
No, it's funny you should talk about him.
When I heard that he was in this one, I expected him to have a larger role.
I was going to say larger nose or larger moustache. So I was just referring about moustaches. As you talked about him being Johnny Ringo, the bloke who ended up being an agent later on in the story, you know, he was talking to the Earthman with his tash. He looks a bit like a, you know, he had a bit of a sort of...
Yeah, he looked a bit dodgy.
Wyatt Earp sort of tash. Chris Kane says, good evening, guys.
Good evening.
And the hardcore listeners to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, i.e. Ian Kirk, has joined. He's not said anything yet, but he's joined. He's watching. Can I go back to the story now?
Of course you can.
Makes a change.
Okay. Anytime.
Thank you. Well, I can have that down. I'm going to have to email some contracts out to you. Grief. Anyway, so yeah, they have a bit of a board meeting because there's a few sort of political issues going on in regards to this destination for leisure. What?
At the expense of losing another point, yes. Uh-oh. It was a board, as in I was bored, meeting.
You know, he said in the expense of losing another point.
Oh, Kirby.
He's not listening.
Oh, dear.
So we won't be, guys, we won't have to actually ask him what he thought of the story later on, because he's already said so. At least we can step past that bit. That'll save a bit of time. I've got stuff to do. I could be sitting here doing, listening to Kirby complaining about this.
I want to hear what you, if any of you guys like this, I want to know why.
Well, I haven't got anything back from Alistair yet. So he might have emailed me back. Oh, he has, yes. I'm assuming... This is Adam. Of course it's... Of course it's me.
Oh, Alistair!
Of course. Oh, how would you assume it's me? For goodness sake. He's got my blooming number. New-ish phone. Oh, it's a new-ish phone. One of us says no, it's Debbie Melrose. You would have just blocked it. So, anyway, moving on.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah. Then he turned... I think he, after being on the... Look like on the screen, the Skype screen, he then turns up in the boardroom. And I'll tell you what... David Haig, is it David Haig? I think it is, isn't it? Doesn't half play the sort of adolescent, teenage, moody, certain, you know, up his own what's it quite well in this story.
He says he's the only young one, or they remark on he's the only young one. But if you look at the extras throughout this, there are some pretty young looking, you know, other...
Of course, we have one of the young ones at FantasyCon. That's Christopher Ryan, who played Mike. So thank you for that little segue, Mary. I'm going to give Mary a point for that.
Yay.
Well done. Oh, dear, my bell sounds a bit ill. Sounds like it's got laryngitis. So Mary gets a point for accidentally mentioning... Oh, actually, I accidentally made you have minus points.
For accidentally mentioning the young ones. Right.
Mentioning that there are other young extras, yes, yeah.
Back to the story. Yeah, he's quite arrogant, isn't he? Sort of. The only time he ever smiles is when he's doing something naughty.
Evil.
And then I love the Doctor and Romana's entrance. You hear the TARDIS sort of materialise, and then they both sort of. Oh, for God's sake!
Please finish your phrase.
Ah, excellent. Yeah, they both sort of walk into the shop from the left-hand side, and the profile of the Doctor and his new costume and new hat and stuff look really, really cool. Yes, Kirby.
Yes, when they use the Quantel 5000 to do that shot of the TARDIS materializing, this is the very first time they ever had a moving shot where the TARDIS materialized. They were able to do it with that piece of equipment.
Okay. So you thank me for highlighting this new piece of kit?
Thank you.
You're not going to need point back for that. Just what you see if you would. Right,
so
anyway, moving on. Which reminds me, for some reason, I should really put some twirl bars in the freezer because they're a bit hot in it. Right, so then we see they walk in on a demonstration of this machine that they're using at the Leisure Hive. It's not actually called the Leisure Hive, as that's the name of the story, but I'm going to call it the Leisure Hive because that's essentially what they're talking about.
Why does the story even have that name?
Because they're supposed to be a leisure destination, this planet, isn't it? It's supposed to be where...
Leisure planet, and they call themselves a hive.
Thank you, Mary.
They do?
Yeah, they do. They say that periodically throughout.
Point for Mary for out-pedanting Kirby. So, yeah, they've got Pangol in this machine, who and his head and his arms, I think, disappear. only because obviously it's a clever thing you see on you've actually seen on Britain's Got Talent, and they where they just blacken the backdrop and everybody wears black apart from the bits you want to see, so it makes it look like things are floating around. Joshua Dybal says, hi everyone. Hi Joshua, nice to see you.
Hi Joshua.
So there's more board, there's lots of board meetings in this, and don't you say bored because the story's boring, Kirby. Thank you. But there are a lot of board meetings in this story. Lots of political stuff going on. Anyway, so there's lots of talks of tachyons and stuff like that, because the script editor, Christopher H. Bidmead, is a bit of a scientist, sort of geeky, sort of like he should have been in the Big Bang Theory sort of chap. And he's really into bringing lots and lots of weird science into Doctor Who. And this is his first excursion into that. Right. And then we see some sort of weird sort of lizardy creatures. And their dead-looking eyes, and they're sort of... Did someone sneeze then?
No, I snickered.
And
they're funny.
They look like they're knitted a little bit, to be fair.
They look like chameleon eyes.
Yeah, I think for the time where they weren't too bad, but now they look rubbish considering what they can do with, you know, makeup now. And you know, you think about Madame Vastra, you know, a lizard woman. Her makeup was obviously more advanced, but think how long ago this was, Kirby, before you start snickering. This is Doctor Who, and it's
no, I was laughing at you.
What?
Not at you, and what you said, because it was funny.
Oh, thank you very much. You're trying to get a point.
Yes.
Right, where was I? And then like Mary was pointing out, oh, they burn a hole in the side of the whatever it is, spaceship or building, whatever it is. And then seal it up, and obviously they infiltrate the building. Johnny Ringo starts sort of feeling ill, falls over, and the thing pops out of his head, and he sort of dies. And it looks like he's going to regenerate, actually, because his face goes all negative. But he just disappears.
Very quick, actually. Going all black and white like that, I don't know what happens.
He got shot by a Dalek, but no one saw the Dalek off camera. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have this shot of the shuttle landing very, 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 very slowly.
About it's five very, so it must have been very good. Yeah, anyway, right. So yeah, the sort of mysterious lizardy creature sort of starts watching through the gap in the door. Now, the gap in the door reminds me of the way people film things on their phones these days. I did a wedding the other day in which something was filmed, and it was the groom was just mucking around a bit, pretending to walk down the aisle with a bouquet. And I did film it with my camera, thought sort of that a part of it. But the best man was there filming it with his phone. He said, "I've got it for you. I got it on my phone." And he sort of showed it to me, and he'd hold the phone upright. So I was like, I can't use that. It's upright. It's like peering through the gap in a door. Turn it sideways. But it was gone by then. I don't know why people have to film upright with their phones. If you turn it sideways, it's a normal video camera, isn't it, Debbie?
Yes.
I agree with you, but one of the reasons is because Instagram has forced people to go vertical.
Yeah.
Instagram is a waste of time because you can't post anything on it via your computer. I've got loads of stuff I want to post on Instagram, but I can't because I have to get it from my computer to my phone or my iPad to get it onto Instagram. Whereas with Facebook and all the other ones, I can just post it straight from my computer or my phone. Much, much better.
You're opening yourself up to being targeted again for having a Mac.
Don't care. What? It's nothing to do with having a Mac. It would be the same on PC. Or are you saying that the PC version of Google Instagram is different? We're sidetracking somewhat here. That's unusual,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I need my fan on. Where's my fan? I'm getting hot and bothered. Here it is. I'll switch it on for a few seconds just to cool myself down because I'm getting a bit hot under the collar. Meanwhile, back to the episode. Yeah, so they're being spied on by these mysterious... You're obviously led to think the baddies, because they're lizardy creatures. Then we see a spaceship docking. Now, obviously, this shot was reminiscent of the Soyuz Apollo docking mission from 1973. Kirby's just about to decide to agree or disagree with me. He can't quite make his mind.
No, I just said, again, this is like the third time we saw that same long...
Okay. Kirby, this is like the third time you're telling us this.
Yes.
Well, see, it was as if he didn't hear me.
We heard you.
Right, Kirby, we heard you. There's no need to mention it again. But it does. I just knocked my microphone as well, so I apologise to listeners about a minute ago. The spaceship docks and off walks the big leader, who is now the leader after the other chap died, of Argolis, with a couple of her mates.
She's got a crush on the English guy she's with.
Yeah, and he's so got a bit of a crush on her too.
Man she's with.
Yeah, a bit of
master
stuff going on there. Yes.
Unless I'm stealing your thunder here.
Uh-oh.
I didn't realize who she was until I looked her up and went, whoa!
Right.
She was rather famous for her red get-up in A Clockwork Orange.
Okay. Yep. Having not watched A Clockwork Orange, you've gone right over my... Oh, here we go.
What?
Point deduct for Debbie for having a go at me for not having watched Clockwork Orange.
Wow, that is a big gap in your education.
Yes, yeah. Mary, for having a go at me for not watching Clockwork Orange.
Oh, Mary, you're winning. Oh, you still are, actually.
And... Yes. That's where I'm comfortable.
And I've accidentally given Kirby plus points, so I've now put him that down,
oh,
back down
you.
To minus. No, you're on minus one. Right then, so yes, I haven't watched Clockwork Orange, and thank you for that. Lots of people would have done to thank you for the reference, Kirby, so you get... one of them.
Yay!
Yay!
Very, very good. For unusually good reference for you. Well, we're still on episode one. Ron's ridiculous. We're half an hour into the show. The episode is about 20 minutes long. God's sake. So,
well,
anyway.
These are pretty quick episodes, aren't they?
So they're demonstrating this machine, and some bloke steps into it and it gets ripped apart and screams.
Whee!
And for some obscure reason, then they demonstrate some woman going from old to young, a rejuvenation facility on it. And then for some reason, I think the doctor decides to have a go in it after doing some very rubbish floating around acting. They tried their best with it, didn't they? To make it look like they're floating around, they just get Romana sort of waving the scarf around a little bit. Why? Well, people in the background are sort of doing a little bit better job of floating around.
They actually put them on what the infotext refers to as Kirby wires.
Oh, you would like that, wouldn't you? Yes.
There's such a thing, is there? Oh, dear.
Yeah. Of course it's Kirby wires. Lauren X says, the elusive live cast. Elusive. Finally found yous, guys. Right. So only the diehard viewers
it's
will come and watch
it.
Move
it every week to a different.
Yeah. I don't think I'll move it to the Isle of Wight cosplayers page. I think that might be a step too far.
That might be. Yeah.
Get kicked off it after that. Right. So yes. So the doctor sort of is sneaking around the place with Romana, and Romana sort of got hold of his scarf, and as she pulls the scarf around the side of the TARDIS, a sort of weird pink mannequin arrives, and the doctor's gone in the. Is it a tachyon machine? It's a machine, anyway.
It's a tachyon thing.
And then his arms, legs, and head detach from his body, and he goes, and that's the end of a very short episode. No, it's not. Episode one's not too bad. It's 23 minutes long. Episode two, on the other hand.
Those statues are of the Argolan who caused the war in the first place.
No, oh, thank you for a good point, Kirby. I didn't get that one. That's a really good point. I'm impressed. You're doing well. You're on fire today with these actual interesting points for an episode apparently you didn't like.
That's his helmet that is used later on.
Yeah, all right. Anyways, I don't push it too far. Well, do you know what it reminded me of? Sorry. They look like giant jelly babies.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, the doctor, Romana's screaming, oh, we've got to get the doctor out of there, blah, 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 blah. And he's just standing by the TARDIS with a sort of big puppy
Rip
dog
on
eye
his face. Hello, everybody all right?
Yeah. So, of course, they immediately sort of arrested sort of thing. But what's the name of the lady? Sorry.
The start of each episode. It's like a good 5 minutes of the previous episode. Jeez.
It is, Mary, I agree. But the lady who's in charge, Clockwork Orange
swear
woman.
Swear on a helmet, probably never heard of. he's telling the truth, so he's like, yeah, okay.
Anyway, they get shepherded into the, to get a telling off, but they're allowed to sort of show, what's her name, this blooming Clockwork Orange?
Mina.
Mina.
With an M, Mina.
Some people have described me like that, you know. They said I couldn't get any meaner. Anyway, so yeah, so there's stuff going on.
Could.
And then something happens to what's the name? A little thing pops off her head, and she starts getting a bit ill.
And, yeah, it just pops off.
All
it?
Of a sudden, she was perfectly all right, and then suddenly, because when these things pop off, obviously when the last one pops off, they die. And as I said earlier on,
think it was a wardrobe malfunction they'd ignored.
Yeah.
Right. Be aware, everybody. Alan T. Butcher has joined the viewership. We've accidentally gone up to 5 now, which is quite interesting, because some people are just, oh, the next that. Oh, okay, yeah. Turn it off. So it periodically goes up to 5 and it goes to 4. And then people realise they don't really want to watch me sitting in front of a TARDIS and a FantasyCon advert, which is right behind me.
Master.
Oh, God.
One of the big continuity errors occurred in that scene.
They did.
As they demonstrate the de-aging of that woman.
Yes.
And that's the demonstration.
Yeah.
And then the doctor come and Romana come in. You can hear the door open and they come in. And then they refer to the demonstration as if they saw it for the rest of the story.
How do you know they didn't see it on their phones or something like that?
On their phones, yeah, okay.
They're in the future, Kirby. Good grief. Anyway, right, so that's rather spoiled my fun of the story now. I wonder what Alistair thinks of your decision. No, he hasn't commented. I think he's just too annoyed with you. It's probably you're not friends with him on Facebook, are you, Kirby? Because I think if you were, you won't be for much longer.
I think I am.
You won't be for much longer. No. Right then. So, yeah, there's... hang on, wait for the thing to move along. So, yeah, the chap who's a really good friend of the Lady Mina, he's a bit of a scientist, and he sort of ropes in Romana. A lot of these sort of weird sort of scientists rope Romana in. It happened in City of Death, didn't it?
Yeah, although it's, she seems to relish it anyway, so, yeah.
She seems to be the one that, instead of the Doctor, they rope in Romana.
But you've got to make use of the fact that we've got an actual... fully fledged time lady on board as well, you know. Sometimes this way is sort of way of reminding people that actually she's just up there with, is up there with the Doctor, but just in different ways.
Anyway, so this chap, this beardy bloke with the glasses, sort of wanders into this green lit room and finds this really weird, looks like a mannequin, and touches it and it's dead.
It's a skin for that, obviously used by a Selene.
Yeah, it does look like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that this may be the origin of the Selene.
It could be. Definitely felt that way when they took the stuff off. To begin.
See, it's kind of the same way, you know, these big fat bodies fitting into the little skinny human form. Yeah.
Billy Kirkbright says, you're live and so am I. Well, I'm glad to hear it, Kirby. We'd like to have you alive, obviously, in a few weeks' time.
Billy, not Kirby.
Billy, yeah. It took me two watchings of this before I realized that skin in the closet was the lawyer who never says anything.
Oh. You watched it twice?
Yes. And I love the lawyer's name. It's perfect. It's Clout.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so like you say, yeah, we're moving on. And then there's something happens to the chap with the beard. That, I don't know if he gets attacked by a sort of weird claw. Billy Kirkbright says,
Billy Adam Billy.
Hi everyone. So Romana's trying to help the lover of the present woman, whatever her name is, Mina, solve a few issues they've got with the machine. And as Kirby alluded to, there's a strange mask thing hanging from the ceiling of one of the boardrooms. They do have a lot of boardrooms here. It's a little bit like what's that place I went to in I went to a while back. It's a hotel. Never mind. You sometimes get, if you go to certain hotels, there's several boardrooms of different sizes within these sort of big sort of...
Yeah.
There's some really good directional stuff going on. I mean, as a videographer and a photographer myself, I do notice certain sort of aspects, camera angles and shooting through things, which I actually really quite like. It's like, you know, their chemistry sets and stuff like that, that they do their dialogue with the chemistry set in the forehand. Forehand? Right, I'm going to get my magic wand and hit myself over the head with it.
Foreground.
Out of focus, and the actual actors in the background. They don't normally do that in this era of television. because obviously, you know, you would have thought you want a clear shot of the actor, but they're doing something quite different here, which I really, really like.
Master.
Oh, God, I need to get to the end.
I agree with you. This is the only Doctor Who story that was directed by Lovett Bickford. Uh-huh. And he did want to kind of change things up. He had meetings with J&T, obviously. And that you'll notice also there's lots of shots by the cameras by the floor looking up. So yeah. They had to put ceilings in a lot of the sets too.
Cool.
I'd noticed
just to make it interesting.
Yeah,
we were suddenly looking at actual ceilings. Yeah.
Okay. Billy Kurt Bright says, clarifying my name, Adam. You called me Kirby before. I do apologise. What an insult.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so sorry,
Billy.
We let
him know that.
Yeah, we told you that. Yeah.
right then.
Dare you.
So I do love the little controls of these machines. Just little sort of cones and sort of prisms and stuff
like
that,
which crystals and things,
which is quite cool.
Yes, very, very, very clever set dressing. I like that.
So the Doctor's sort of being grilled because Pangol, I think, thinks he's a bit of a threat to his scheme, which we don't know at this stage of the story. But I think the rest of the characters within the story are warming to the Doctor and Mamana, apart from Pangol, who knows they're a bit of a threat to his plan. So he's trying to sort of gauge people against them. And then the Doctor, I think, he goes in to have a poke around in the machine. And somebody, don't know who, do we, messes around with it. And he comes out looking like he did at the end of Sharda, but with longer hair and stuff.
Actually, that was really good aging makeup on him.
It was good. Yes. It's just a shame they didn't think of doing that with the Doctor at the end of Sharda. Would have made it quite interesting, sort of overlap, you know, to the thing.
What was that?
I've got a FantasyCon message come through.
Ooh. Yeah, for a change, it wasn't me.
political stuff. I'll have to ask for that later.
Yeah, it's a rather piercing ding.
Yeah, it was. It's because it's my iPhone. I don't normally have it switched on, but I'm waiting for Alistair's response to your... But I don't think he's going to respond to your not liking the story message. Part 3. Notice it's part 3, not episode 3. Who's coughing?
Me.
You're right. You feeling all right? Do you want a lozenge?
Yes, I'm fine.
You don't want a lozenge then?
Okay. Nope. Are you offering me one?
Well, I'll have to get Kirby to look over and give it to him. Because obviously Kirby's only a few moments away from you. Right, so there's a very... Oh, but I forgot to mention the previous episode was 20 minutes long. It's very, very short. And most of that was...
And that included about 4 minutes of recap.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I know, the start of each one.
Five-minute
recap.
Well, this recap was 2.5 minutes into a 20-minute story, so you're really quite short episodes. I think it has been mentioned in Who that this is a... These episodes are the shortest, I think, of the four-part stories that we've ever had in Doctor Who. So the Mina's getting worse and worse, much to the concern of the scientist bloke who's. Hang on, I've got another. I'll read that. All the political stuff behind the scenes of FantasyCon is getting very interesting. It would happen now, when I haven't got time to read it.
Turn the sound off and don't distract yourself.
Political.
Well, I'm just hoping that political to do with the convention, Kirby, not to do with Donald Trump or anything like that. It's the convention.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's right, then. Right. No, Donald Trump is not coming to FantasyCon, by the way. I mean, he was in Britain a while back, but unfortunately, his fees are a little bit too high. although, I have seen a Saints fan comedian. What's his blooming name? Who does a really good impression of him? His career's been resurrected. Mike Osman. His career's been resurrected because he does such a good impression of Donald Trump.
Well, you've got a Donald Trump of your own now.
Have we? Yes, oh, you mean Boris?
Oh, yes, we have.
Boris the buffoon. makes politics more interesting when you get people like that.
It makes it very interesting.
Anyway, where do we get up to? So what's... Oh, no, I don't want to talk about politics on the show. It's banned. Annie Nunny will kick me.
yeah.
No politics.
No politics. I was trying to do a little bit of a soft satire there. Laurie Nick says, stop messing about with all the ding-dongs.
Yeah.
You mean I've got to stop giving people points? I'm quite happy to do that. Right, where'd I get up to? Right, sorry. So Pangol is being a right sort of... He needs a smack bottom. He's being a right, you know... He's white one, isn't he? I'm trying to be polite here, but he's being a bit of a one.
Yeah, well, now that Mina is so weak, you know, there's nobody to do it.
And you've got the doctor that's now weak as well, because he's feeling weak and old.
The doctor's weak, yeah.
And I have to say, he did play these scenes rather well. And then... I'm just going to flip through that. There's an interesting sort of war of eyes and snarls and words with Pangol and Wyatt Earp. Because I can't remember the Earth bloke's name.
Wyatt.
Well, he looks like Wyatt Earp with that moustache.
Harden? Is it Harden? Or is it Brock?
Brock, was it? I tell you what, I noticed, you know, where Pangol's nose almost comes to touch his during one sort of vicious discussion. They're in the foreground, slightly silhouetted. In the background, completely out of focus, is Mina. Lovely direction. Beautiful beautiful work, has to be said. Right, so yeah, the doctor's is quite old, but his mind's still working. While Mina gets worse and worse, she's sort of dying, her medical crew are called in. But I noticed that when Johnny Ringo's medical crew, when he was dying, he didn't have a medical crew, as far as I can make out.
And when her medical crew's in there, they're just standing on either side of the door, like they're door guards.
But isn't that what medical crew do? Not on Doctor Who, I mean, not obviously, and you being a medical crew person yourself, please, I'll shut up. Right then,
she's not as far gone. She still has several berries left in her head.
Are they berries, are they? Is that what they are?
Well, they are plant-based.
Are they? I didn't realise that.
Yes. Yeah. That's why they're green.
Well done, Kirby. That's excellent. I've watched Leisure Hive on several occasions, and that's the first time I've actually had any gleaning to whether they're actually being a plant-based person. Well done. I'm impressed with you today. You're doing a very good job.
There's no actual reference to them as a plant.
Is there not? Oh, good. That means I can take that point back away again. Well done, Mary.
Oh,
thank you,
dear.
Mary. Brilliant.
But, I mean, if they are referring to themselves as a hive, then that would be more animal.
So to do with like insects and stuff like that.
But I'm getting my information from the info text and also the extra on the disc where J&T and the writer refer to such.
Excuse me, another FantasyCon direct message. I just have to.
You're getting distracted.
I'm sorry, it's not my fault. I just have to let him know. I'm sorry, I've just declined a call. Sorry, I'm podcasting. Right.
But yes, that was the intention of the writer in association with J&T, that they're plants.
Okay, let's move on. It doesn't really affect
the score. I don't get my point back because of Mary.
All right, have your blimmin' point back. God's sake. God. Otherwise, we're never going to move on, are we? Grief. Right then. So, the Doctor, or rather, interestingly, uses the TARDIS as a blackboard.
Yes.
That's one of the only interesting parts of the story.
I was surprised that, you know, he used it as blackboard just a couple of stories ago, but he's using this nice new TARDIS as a blackboard. This is a reconstructed TARDIS. This is the first fiberglass TARDIS.
Oh.
This is its first story.
So you can't really use chalk on it. You would probably use a sort of liquid-based chalk sort of derivative. Is that the word I'm looking for? That's quite a good word, that.
It looks like chalk to me.
Okay. Yeah, so he uses the TARDIS to draw out some equations that obviously Christopher H. Bidmead has made up. And then, and of course, Romana, I think the Doctor's sort of locked up, I've got to mention this, and the scientist bloke wants to keep Romana to himself, but Romana's bumped into one of the very badly sort of, the lizard creatures, who, they're not brilliant, are they?
Formosia.
It's a shame. I do love the way they speak, though. Their sort of language, that's quite cool.
Which begs the question, where's the TARDIS translation circuit?
Well, wasn't that invented during the David Tennant era to explain why you could understand foreign languages, etc.?
Well, to speak in a Kirby format, the costumes for the Fomasi were supposed to be that they're wearing two layers. The inner layer is like a reddish color, and the outer layer was this very expensive fabric that they that they bought that has like a reflectiveness. It's see-through, but it's reflective also, so that they're supposed to like shimmer, but you can kind of see through to internal organs. It was supposed to be a very interesting effect. Yeah. But once they started filming, they found the studio lights were so bright that they couldn't get that effect. So they just look like they're wearing sacks.
That's a shame, isn't it? There's aspects of it I really like, but...
You can sort of see it in some scenes.
The bubble wrap effect as well.
Didn't really work.
Yeah, it's almost like that, yeah.
I thought they were wearing bubble wrap.
Anyway, hang on, I just want to see this scene here. Moving on. So obviously, I love the bit where the doctor comes in and Romana said, "This is a friend. This chap." So now we find out that these lizards are actually not baddies after all. And there's a great scene which they're brought into the main boardroom again, and Wyatt Earp is sort of revealed as actually being having a very elaborate mask on, shall we say. And is in fact one of the lizardy creatures, a baddie, pretending to be an Earthman. Right, moving into episode 4 at last. Mina continues to be rather ill on the last legs, and there's long pullback. That's about 3 minutes of pullback. How long is the episode? 21 minutes. So not the shortest of the episodes. Well, I might as well have made it a three-parter, mightn't I? I wonder if you can actually edit this down to a three-parter if you're very clever.
Probably.
Yeah. It might make sense if you did that.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mina collapses eventually, long-awaited collapse, and obviously Pangol thinks she's dead and takes over. And,
she's getting better!
Yeah. And I'm going to have a move on a bit here because Kirby's been holding the whole story up by talking about superfluous things. He goes and grabs the mask thing, which is on the ceiling, just so as they can do a specific effect. And he goes into the machine and replicates himself, so they can get just loads of actors wearing these masks and walking around in circles to imply there's hundreds of them. Because it was cheaper to make the masks and the costumes than it was to...
They're supposed to be duplicates, but if you notice, they're not all the same size.
Yes.
I hadn't noticed that, but it doesn't surprise me. anyway, so the doctor is fiddling around with some wires, and Romana's doing a bit of panicking, and a lot of these alleged Pangols appear on the screen when they actually turn out to be the doctor. And of course, they don't stay in existence for long, do they? They sort of they soon fade away, and Romana sort of doesn't know which doctor she's talking to.
Yeah. I think I'm the first one.
Yeah. Eventually they're led down to one, but then while all this is going off, and she eventually does bump into her husband, I mean the doctor, the scientist bloke carries what we think is the dead Mina into the machine and rejuvenates her.
And, he says she's still breathing.
While Pangol's with her, and Pangol's turned into a baby.
Not that poor baby.
Yeah. I'm going to bring him back much better this time, and the doctor and Mina warp away. So there we go, the leisure high. I seem to remember when I watched this first time in 1980, I was quite sad to see the end of the theme tune and title sequence I'd loved so much. Didn't mind the new theme tune; I thought it was quite good and snazzy, but I still preferred the original. And liked the Doctor's new costume. I thought it was really fab. There was certainly a new look and feel to the show. I didn't like what they did to K-9. This particular story, at the time, it's not something I really remembered that well. And I didn't really pay much attention to it until Alistair said that it was his favourite story. And I can see why he likes it, because it is very scientific. I think they've tried to put science fact into it, although it is a science fiction fantasy TV show, and like I said, you've got these aliens with their little what do you call them, berries that pop out when they're not feeling very well. So there were certain really a lot of engaging aspects of the story, and obviously if they made it now, they'd probably make it into one episode and it would probably be really, really fab. It's not perfect, but I still think it's quite good. Certainly better than the last two stories. I mean, I'm not so much Sharda, but, you know, the last two broadcast stories that we had in a previous season. So a good start for me, fairly good start for JNT. But do we need to see what Kirby thinks of it even? Because we know, don't we? oh, God, hang on. That's, okay, everybody, let's listen to see what Kirby thinks.
Was it terrible for JNT?
He talked over the drama.
Sorry, Kirby.
Terrible, terrible start for JNT. I'm not impressed at all. It was boring. The science was there. The science is kind of interesting, except there was lots of confusion about like the good group of mafiosi. I mean, Famasi, and the bad group of Famasi. Yeah. Confusing when things were happening. Lots of confusion as far as various plot points. I liked the design. It was great. I liked the costumes. It was interesting while watching it earlier this week. I realized I went into this thinking, oh, I haven't seen this. I haven't seen it for a long, long time. By the time we got to the episode where it turned out to be the doctor being duplicated, I remembered that I had seen it once, probably in 1983-84, probably at a convention. So I saw parts of it. I remember that episode.
Kirby, can I interrupt you for just a second? Mm-hmm. Laurie Nix just posted that the live stream went bye-bye on the con page.
Did it?
That's what her post says.
It says it's I've got 51 minutes and 5 seconds on mine. Let's have a look on my phone. Might be her internet going down. I'll have a look on the con page.
I'm sorry, Kirby, but I thought Adam might want to know that.
Yeah, that's quite important.
No, it appears to be still running. Right then, anybody who's listening, please post something, apart from Laurie, obviously, who can't see it. Please post something on the live feed to see if whether you can see us or not. Oh, hang on, Lillian Robbins says, I see it. Oh, I've got some messages that come through. Right, so we got Laurie Nick said apparently her job included insurance, but not the other fellow.
We still have Kirby's.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. Billy Kirkbright says... I need to bolt. Nice being with you live for once, opposed to my usual time of 4 a.m. Lillian Robbins says, I see it. And Joshua Dybal said, fine here, still running. So somebody tell her that it's still running. She'll have to, maybe she has to refresh her thing. Anyway, back to Kirby's rather odd opinion.
Sorry.
Go on, Kirby.
It had long scenes that just had no reason to be there. Too many boardroom scenes, and it just—I don't like the question marks on his shirt.
I do like the question marks, actually. Fair enough.
I did not like this.
Right, Ooh. Kirby didn't like it. Okay, then let's have a look at Deborah Melrose.
Never seen it. Mm. Although I have very fond memories of the theme tune from when I was about four years old.
Uh-oh.
I didn't enjoy this one, I'm afraid, Adam.
I enjoyed
the camera work. I enjoyed the science, and the costumes were brilliant, and it was a very well thought out set. The sets were really well designed, but that almost detracted from just how much they padded what could have been just two episodes, really. It could have been two episodes, a quick, short, sharp trip to the leisure hive, and that would have been enough. But it was a lot of running through corridors again, which is very synonymous with Doctor Who, I know that. But the padding was unnecessary. They could have got on with the plot, and it would have made the story tick faster and be a bit more engaging. This, it just did not hold me. And I watched it in two bits, and I tried again to watch it, and I just was like, no, I've seen it. I know what I need to say. And it was unfortunately not an enjoyable outing for the...
Perhaps they should have made it two parts. Might have been a bit...
Yeah, to be honest, if they cut out half the padding that they put in there, it would have scanned better, it would have been a little bit faster paced, and it probably would have been up there as a really, really good story with all the science and things. But you'd have like, sorry, you'd have one scene of really interesting science facts, and then suddenly you'd be off doing other things for about 10 minutes of padding, and then you'd sort of have forgotten what they were talking about. And that's not engaging. That's not how I remember being into Doctor Who. So yeah, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, and sorry, Alistair, but I didn't enjoy this one.
Okay. I can guess what's coming up. Mary, what did you think?
Well, I'm going to surprise you all and say that I actually liked it.
Hey!
I have seen it before, and I remember not liking it when I did see it, because I found it, you know, slow-moving and to some degree somewhat confusing, because there are things that don't make sense in it, of course. So I ended up reading the book, which gave me a lot of background into the story. And like, the whole first chapter is nothing but the war between the Argolans and the Framasi. So
do you think that would be worth me going and having a read then? Because I really enjoyed all the history and the science. So
yeah, I think it would. So when I saw it this time, I got a lot more out of it, including what a threat the Framasi really posed to the Argolans, because I think that's one of the problems, is that the filmed story doesn't really...
You didn't get the threat.
Yeah, I didn't feel the threat from them. They seemed like nice guys almost from the get-go in this, but I really understood why the Argolans were so desperately against them, you know, from reading the book. Anyway, and I read about the making of this, and it said that that both John Nathan Turner and the director were interested in taking a totally different approach that would be more threatening atmospheric rather than action. And so that's why this came out the way it did. Although I think that the padding does subtract from it. I think it could have been a 2-3 episode one without that. But these long panning shots and these you know, these things that seem to take so long were intentional to try to create that threatening atmosphere. But because I don't think it conveyed the real threat of the Framasi or the betrayal of the of what they thought were the Earth agents, which were actually, you know, that mafia group. It just didn't come across in the TV thing like they hoped it would. I was going to comment that Tom Baker did a really good job of acting old, because he really did.
I think I said that.
I was ready to give him a lot of credit, but then I read that he was suffering from severe jet lag, because he and Lala Ward had flown to Australia to do a computer commercial, and they came back, and just a few days later, Tom had to fly back to Australia to do a promotional thing for the Doctor Who series, and he had just gotten back the evening before, and so he was desperately tired during a lot of the filming of this, and so I think that's what we see.
And he had to sit in the chair and get made up as well.
Just been him being incredibly tired. Yeah. And then what I also read was but it was the beginning of something that they had no idea was going on with him that we're supposed to see play out in the next two stories. Bum, bum, bum.
Okay.
Bum,
bum, bum.
So Mary.
Yeah.
Your old way of getting this information, which I didn't know about, used to be running through corridors.
No.
So what's your new...
No, I rarely ever got this kind of information out of running through corridors, because that's just the two of them giving their opinions. They really talk much about, you know, the making of the stories. No, my resource all along has been a series of books called About Time.
Okay.
I'm looking at one now. It's written by Lawrence Miles and Tat Wood. And he really they go into incredible detail. I mean, more than I even care about.
I'll have to look into this one. Because I love the fact that you're coming up with things that I've never heard of. And I'm pedantic about some of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of this.
I can see that. Yeah.
Some of this I got from reading the story, you know, the target book about the Framasi things that are going on behind the scenes that made the story more interesting for me. But yeah, a lot of the behind the scenes stuff is stuff I'm getting out of the About Time books.
Oh, I'm looking up on Amazon right now, yeah, about the series for the 2009 specials and things like that.
Yeah. And I'm on book five now because it begins, you know, with the new John Nathan Turner era and all that. Okay. So, yeah, I mean,
cool.
There's more there than you'll ever want to know.
I want to know it.
Well, get it then, Kirby. Anyway, moving on. Thank you very much, Mary. Moving on.
These books also go into the other things that are going on politically and in television elsewhere and all that to show you what influenced, you know, why we're seeing certain effects or why we see, you know, new things coming along, you know, because it tells you how this stuff is running parallel with, you know, other cultural things that are going on. So, that's kind of interesting.
Thank you. Right. All right. So we missed some things on the live feed. Lena Robbins said, I love Instagram. Well, there you go.
And we've got fire alarm going off, guys. I'll be back in a sec.
Oh, good. We can talk about her now. What else we got? We've got and she shorted out K9. So boo. Talking about Romana, of course. Lillian Robin says, but you shouldn't have to read a book to understand it. A very good point there from Lillian. Laura Nick said, Kitty's eyes are twinkling for Mary's research. And then then Laurie Nick says, Kirby's. I suppose we'd better move on to feedback. We have feedback via Kirby's request for it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. And I suddenly ended on the Fantasy Con page. Oh, I guess I've opened up the wrong one. Here we go. Right then, so Jeff Waddle says, gone is the comedy of the previous season. Gone are the pantomime-style production values. In are new titles, and yet somehow this story is as entertaining as dishwater. Maybe enough of a good story in there somewhere, but the direction is awful. Well, camera direction is amazing. So I wouldn't quite say that. And the scientific stuff is so mind-blowingly dull, I completely lost all interest in it. If a five-minute shot of an empty beach is your thing, fill up your boots. Billy Kirk Bright says, I watched this story a long time ago and struggled to get through it due to absolute boredom. From my aspect, the only good thing about it was the new Burgundy get-up. Jeff Waddle says, Tom wasn't interested at this point, and so neither am I. Billy then said, oh, and Romana's short, stripy leggings thingies.
Tom was sick.
Yeah. Oh, I can hear noises. I wonder if that's the dog.
We had a carbon monoxide alarm go off, so obviously I'd hear that
from up here. Laurie Nick says, that is so the face of me when I'm at the beach. And then said, this one makes me feel hungover. Alan T. Butcher, this would have been the first story we recorded off the telly, but the recording is missing, believed wiped. I don't think it lasted long. I suspect we hung onto the five-minute scene of nothing much happening at a nearby beach for a little longer. Then Kirby Bartlett, somebody rather, aha, I've found the Brighton connection to Argolis. These young people are at Palace Pier, have obviously had their legs removed in Argolian generator.
Yeah, it's a Google Street View, and there's a glitch, and there's two young people whose legs are missing. So okay. I thought...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Loses
something on audio presentation, doesn't it? Yes, thank you, Kirby.
Well, it's the podcast page. That's where it is.
Okay. Yeah.
What have you not on Facebook?
Since I got so interested in the history of those piers, I decided to walk up and down the one in Street View, which... was fascinating because the season changes like halfway down.
Okay, you've obviously got far too much time in your hands. Paul Gobert says and feedback sent by email.
Doesn't like the fact that there's donuts for sale. Apparently they're not British.
Shut up. Joshua Dybel said, Jeff is on spot with his review. I couldn't say it better. The only bit of the story I like is the intro on Brighton Beach. Beyond that, I lose interest rapidly. And yes, Ian, it would have been so much better if it had been been the beach of my hometown, Cromer. Yeah. Thank you.
Master.
Oh, good grief. Yes?
Oh, you skipped over where I pointed out that
there's a reason for that.
The Famasi costumes.
There's a reason for that. Yes, I did skip over it.
I probably did that deliberately.
I didn't mention it because I was trying to be polite for a change. Right, let's move on to feedback sent via email. That's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Yes, it still exists. You can still send us emails. Paul Gobert. Hi, Adam and team. First, Sharda. Sorry I missed last week. Sharda is all right. A bit oddball in places, but enjoyed it overall. Not a lot else to say, really. Here's my feedback for Leisure Hive, the beginning of a bright, fresh new era for Doctor Who. I detect sarcasm there, Paul. Full of ready, good ideas, but not a great execution. I like the Fomarzy design. Is that what they are, Fomarzies?
Hard to know how to say that.
Bit different, and I like the Doctor's new outfit too. In fact, all the designs seem quite good, really. A lot of the science stuff comes off like waffle through the start and to bore me. I'll end on a positive thought. I love these titles. These are my childhood titles in the season I first remember watching Doctor Who. Happy memories. Catch you next time. Oh, there's a little dot, dot, dot here. Oh, Paul Gobert. There we go. Yeah, thank you, Paul. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Well, we've got to play this.
Hello, 20 Minute Mac Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Hooray!
Hooray!
The Leisure Hive by David Fisher. The Long Beach scene is nice, but it is no Cromer. Brighton Pavilion was built in 1823, and it looks like St. Basil's Cathedral, the most famous building in Russia. The story begins in England. The name of the war-term planet, Angolis, sounds a bit like England.
It does. I didn't think of that one.
I wonder if this story was inspired by England becoming a tourist destination after World War II.
It was.
Nuclear war was a popular theme in Doctor Who, and more generally at the time. I wonder if Nathan Turner was thinking of getting rid of K-9, hence he getting
was.
Damaged by his swim.
Well, I can't get to go
they
down,
finally got rid of the randomizer. It seems absurd to me that tourists would travel all the way to Angolis to watch tachyon tricks on a screen. I suppose it is a bit like tourists going to Loch Ness in the hope of seeing the monster. That Angolis machine that can make old people young again, that might have been popular with tourists. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. I just got told off for being too loud, so I've just turned you guys down.
By the way, I corrected Ian. Yeah. It's not Angolis, it's Argolis.
Yeah, but
and then he responded, can't read my own writing.
I think he was trying to just do a phonetic sort of jokey thing, Kirby. God, it's like having Sheldon on the show, isn't it?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right, okay, let's see what we can do with this. What's your name again? Oh, Debbie, isn't it? Debbie. Oh, I haven't sent a message to you for a while.
No, you haven't. I had to scroll down to get...
Debbie Melrose. There you are. And while you're doing that, I can read some messages behind-the-scenes stuff. I will be listening, though, Alan. It hasn't arrived yet because I haven't sent it. Should have it now, though. Have you got it?
Yeah, Joss, there we go. Right, let's see how many words I can mess up this week. Nemesis of the K9, Sussex by the Sea, or the Helmets of Casting Convenience. Dear 20 Megabyters, the Leisure Hive is, of course, a closely elucidation of the potential outfall from war in terms of cultural decay, capitalist exploitation, and fascism, even when serious attempts are made to learn lessons and make amends. Clearly, there are also allusions to the advances in technology that comes out of war, but also pays attention to the danger of misuse of such opportunities. There is obviously an Oedipal element to the situation in which Pangle places himself. The Doctor's final employment of the symbolic original helmet of casting convenience to symbolically destroy what Pangle is doing is obviously very symbolic. Sorry. Undeniably, this is a lot of symbolics. Ooh. It should be noted that while some consider the Argolin have a somewhat outlandish alien look and the Famazi is cheap-looking fake reptiles, in fact, the Argolin are a very striking and memorable alien culture, which may simply have a particular penchant for strange makeups and wigs, and the Famazi are cheap-looking fake reptiles. We also learn that Dastari spent some time in elaborate makeup and wig, according to the indigenous fashion, sitting on a chair on Argolis after he escaped from the semi-historical Wild West, but once again faked his own death and restarted his career as a scientist before being visited by the second Doctor and Jamie McCrimmon whilst conspiring with the Sontarans. All in all, the Leisure Hive is a big change for Doctor Who, and in many ways achieves a much higher standard of production, but fails to get this new era off the ground with the excitement that might have been expected, given the new impetus and potential that was exhibited. It is quite ambitious in the themes explored by the story, but presents them in a rather pedestrian manner, and the reveal of the Slitheen type disguises at the conclusion without any explanation or credibility do let down the otherwise improved look of the show. I have a considerable amount of affection for the story, come as it does at a time when I was becoming more acutely aware of Doctor Who and starting to dramatically increase the level of fan I was, so my memories of it are vivid. It was also, of course, the story that inspired my famous poem about K9. The story was perhaps at least one episode too short, as who would have not wished to see more on Brighton Beach? Next up, Doctor Who and the Return of Barbara and the Space Pirates, or K9 Gets the Boot. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Sorry, did he say famous poem about K9?
Yes, I'm really not sure what he's referring to there, and yes, I'm a bit worried that
we need a link for that, don't we? That's very subtle there, Alan, but thank you very much. I think that concludes. I'll better check. Have we got any more feedback? I don't think we have. We haven't, but we've got quite a good amount this week, so thank you very much for that. Right then, there's something we need to do. It's this week's edition. Oh, we won't get this one. Yes. Now, the Trivial Pursuit cards I have on my person, I think we get to the stage, we might have already gone through the questions, but that's a bit of potluck for you guys. If you've learned anything about Doctor Who and the journey we're on at the moment, it might help some of the people who have been failing in the past to get some correct answers. So, Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead? Actually, should we ditch that? Sod it. Well, should we ditch the bets?
Yeah, can we not do that?
Because you always win, don't you, when we don't have the bets. Well, we'll ditch the bets this week. It's a bit unfair on Mary. We'll have jokers. And we will still stick the, we'll have bonus pot, and we'll still have the lovely, you won't get this one, doubled up things. Okay. Is that all right with everybody?
If we had one more person, I think it would make a difference to actually have the bets. But yeah, it's always the same now.
Okay, well, we'll ditch it for the time being for it to return when I decide. We'll get one person at some point. I seem to have a Trivial Pursuit card stuck to my arm. That's how hot it is, isn't it? Right then, so the scores are, at the moment, in last place with minus 1 point, it's Debbie. In second place with 2 points, it's Mary. And in the lead with 3 points, it's Kirby.
How did that happen?
Because I made some good points, apparently.
All right, don't big yourself up, otherwise it might quickly go down to two. Right, Mary. Who gave Amy and Rory a prayer... we've had that one. Right, I'm going to get rid of those questions. That was last week.
Yeah, we had that one, yeah.
That was last week. Right, I'll go back to my thing. I want to grab some cards from the middle of the deck.
Why don't you bring out the Doctor Who quiz book by Adam Pearson?
Because I haven't actually got it to hand at the moment. And it's not called the Doctor Who quiz book anyway, Kirby. It's called the Ultimate Doctor Who quiz book by Adam Pearson.
Right, well, I bought it.
Did you? Well, how did you not know its name if you bought it? Oh, good grief.
Adam, years ago.
Do the questions for the episodes we're watching as you're busy.
Have you done the questions?
No, but do you want me to start doing them? I've offered before, but you said no.
Oh, you can if you like, I don't mind. But okay. If you fancy that, that's fine. The trouble is, it's just going to make me look stupid, isn't it?
We already have questions for next week, though.
Do we?
Yeah, because we've done it before.
Oh, here we go. That means you'll have to write the questions, Deb. Can we get on with the quiz? Right then, Mary. Ooh, I've got a pudding. Mary. I heard her going off and make a cup of tea. I didn't realize she'd completely gone off.
Sorry. I didn't realize I had my microphone turned off.
Right, hang on, I've just got a message come through. Ah, right, okay. Moving on. What race evolved... What race evolved into Master's allies, the Toclophane, trillions of years into the future? What race evolved into the Master's allies, the Toclophane, trillions of years into the future, Mary?
I don't know.
So therefore, you hang on. I know you're going to answer the question, Debbie, but I need to play this. Hang on, let me put the 1 point in the bonus pot. Debbie?
Was it the last humans?
Oh dear,
I thought they might have an actual name for the race, but I thought it was the
indeed.
Last
humans. The actual says on the card human race, but that's good enough for me. Debbie, your question.
Yes.
All right. What was Dorothea Chaplet's companion? I reprised the question. Sorry, listeners. Sorry, viewers. I'll do it again. What was Dorothea Chaplet, companion of the First Doctor, more commonly known as?
I know.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Joker Dodo.
Joker Dodo. That's a long name. Joker Dodo.
We have a Joker Dodo.
Yes. Kirby's very disappointed not to have had an opportunity to answer that last question, but he's got this one.
Master.
In the 10th Doctor Story 42, what is the name of the spaceship that is missing the sun for fuel? Mining the sun. I can't read with these glasses.
Don't know.
Hang on, I've got some multiple choice.
Oh, okay. That's good.
So if you didn't, obviously you didn't need the multiple choice, you would have got an extra point. But the multiple choices are SS... Pentangle, SS Penhaligon, SS Pentalion, SS Pentalode. So which one of it is that is the ship?
The third one.
The third one, which is SS Pentalion, yes. You say.
Yay! Why didn't you play Joker?
Because I wasn't certain.
You sounded.
Okay, there's a point in the bonus pot for this question.
The thing is that of those four, that's the only one that sounded plausible.
All right, shut up. Right. Where are we? Bonus pot, this question, 1 point. In what century do the Saturnians try to turn Venice into a new home planet? No, good grief.
Well, 18th century.
That'll do. We'll leave that in the bonus spot for the next round. It was, in fact, the 16th century.
Oh, well. I was about to say the 16th
century. Oh, I'm sure you were. Right then. Mary? Yeah. Mary?
Yes?
What planet twinned with Raxacora Cephalocorporeus? Hey.
I know.
For me.
I don't remember.
Was the absorber off from?
I know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't know.
If Mary doesn't remember, she gets one of these. A point goes into the bonus pot, and Kirby, it is...
Clom!
Oh, God, yeah.
I just don't absorb details.
You don't absorb details from the Absorbaloff's home planet, eh, Mary?
That
pun deserves a
spin. Oh, go on then. That's got to be worth a pun point for Mary, even though it was totally accidental. Kirby.
Master.
Is it my turn, isn't it?
All right. Deb's so competitive. She doesn't miss a go. Yeah, it's your go, Debbie. Sorry.
It's Debbie's go. It's my go.
Debbie go. Yeah. So I had my cursor on the wrong person. Right. In Doctor Who the movie, the Master was portrayed by the brother of which Hollywood leading
Julia
lady?
Robert.
Can you say that while I'm not speaking? Otherwise,
Julia
we can't.
Roberts.
Did you get that anyway? All I was. Right. Now, wait for me to finish. Now say the answer.
Julia Roberts.
Hooray! Oh, I nearly missed my bell. Julia Roberts is the correct answer, and Kirby again is absolutely... Actually, you get a bonus point on that one.
Why?
Because it was a multiple choice answer.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Crikey, really?
Do you want to hear what the multiple choice answers were on that one?
Everyone knows that one. I mean, all three of us would have gotten that one.
Yeah, all right.
No, I would not have gotten it, no.
The multiple choices were Julia Roberts, Demi Moore, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Nicole Kidman.
You got four.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fascinating. Right then. 2 point. Oh, it's Kirby's question. Sorry.
Master.
Kirby, when the Chameleon Arch created a fictional history for the 10th Doctor, which English city did he believe he grew up in? Now, it's a multiple choice, but if you can answer it without the multiple choice, you get an extra point.
Please give me the multiple choice.
Leeds, York, Nottingham, Canterbury.
Nottingham.
Impressive.
Nice. Good guess.
Yeah. Perhaps you should have played your Joker, I don't know.
No, because I wasn't.
All right, never mind. Yes, fine, yes, right, yes. 2 points in the bonus pot. 2 points in the bonus pot. For this question, what was the name of the titular demon or daemon in the third Doctor adventure, The Daemons? What was his name? That's a bonus spot. Mani Padme Hum. Mani Padme Hum.
I know the letter it starts with.
Well, that's not the. Yeah, all right, but no, we're not going to get. That's not going to give you any points. The name of the daemon.
Was it something like Azirial or something like that?
Azirial, like Kellogg's, you mean?
Azirial or Azor or something, I don't know.
Another point.
Yeah, it starts with an A.
Leave those points in the bonus spot.
I've got that far then.
Yeah, all right, it was Azal. You all got it wrong, it was Azal.
Oh, AZ then?
Yeah, they stay, the 2 points stay in the bonus spot.
AZ.
All right, shut up, Mary. Mary?
Yes.
I lost where I was. There we go. This is this question here. Julian Glover guest starred in the fourth Doctor story, City of Death, but which of these film franchises
I know.
Has he not appeared in?
Not appeared in.
Now, these are the options you have. Indiana Jones, Star Wars, James Bond and Harry Potter. One of those franchises, Julian Glover has not appeared in. Which one?
James Bond.
Well.
Oh, wow.
Right. Anybody else? Who said I know? Did somebody say
I did.
You did it. Did you go on? Go on then. What's the answer,
Harry
then?
Potter.
Wait until I finish blimmin' speaking. What's the answer, Debbie?
Harry Potter.
Thank you. Because when I speak, it drowns out what you lot say. It's called Skype. You're very excited, aren't you, to get the answer out. I might deduct a point for that. No, I'm not.
I don't want to.
Right, so that was Mary's question. Mm-hmm. Right, get rid of that card. So the next one is Debbie's question. I'll give a points update in a minute. Because I forgot all about the points update. I was getting so excited with Debbie jumping in with the answers too early. Debbie.
Yeah.
And remember, you don't have to jump in the answer too early on this one.
Yeah,
cause it's your
no,
question.
I probably won't get this one. Okay. It's fine.
What does Lorna Bucket of the Gamma Forests tell the 11th Doctor that the word doctor means in her people's language? There are four options. If you can say it without the four options, then that's fine. For an extra point, so.
I'll have the options.
The options are healer, great warrior, buffoon, which of course is our current Prime Minister, and lost soul.
Great warrior, who's not.
Nice one, Debbie. Indeed it is. Nobody's playing jokers. It's very interesting.
He spends that whole series saying he's not a fighter, and it's like, well, actually...
All right, stop being Kirby.
What?
She was being you then. She carried on answering the question. Kirby.
I was saying Debbie played her joker.
Yeah, I know, but you lot haven't.
I played my joker earlier.
I know, but Mary and Kirby haven't.
Okay, fine.
God, you lot... no, it was Kirby's question, yes, right. What was the name of the teenage mechanic aboard the Brixton-bound bus that took the Doctor to San Helios, Midland... I nearly said one of the answers then.
Remember that one?
Yeah, it's Midland, Barclay, Abbey or Lloyd. What was it?
I have no idea.
Well, yeah. You've got four options, right? Midland...
You've been doing well with the options.
Read it again.
Oh, God. What was the name of the teenage mechanic aboard the Brixton-based bus that took the Doctor to San Helios? Was it Midland, Barclay, Abbey or Lloyd?
Lloyd. I don't know.
Well, I think we're going to do this. Finally get an extra point in the bonus spot. Anybody know the answer? There's three options left.
Was it Barclay?
Is the correct answer.
Barclay was the dog that hung around with Big Bird.
Bonus pot, 4 points for this question.
Go on, Mary.
K- K-9 made his debut alongside which Doctor?
We all know.
Well, you answered, so you have to answer.
Fourth.
You lot are pathetic. Oh, it was such an easy question. You let Kirby get it. How ridiculous is that?
Yeah, but he forgot to play his Joker, so it's fine.
Well, you could have played his Joker on that one. That's true. Very good, Debbie, yes. So the current scores are, in last place with 3 points is Mary, in second place with 11 points it's Debbie, in the lead with 12 points it's Kirby. Next question goes to Mary, which is this.
There.
What colloquial name for chaos is derived from the Bethlehem Royal Hospital, which the 10th Doctor and Martha visited with William Shakespeare?
I know,
in the 1500s.
I don't think Mary's... We haven't heard Mary even acknowledge she's listening.
She is listening, aren't you, Mary?
I'm listening.
Yeah, okay. She's there. She doesn't always answer.
Yeah. Okay. She was listening, unlike you lot, listening to the question. So what's the answer then, Mary?
I don't know.
Oh. I know.
Hang on, I've got a point in the bonus spot. Yes, Kirby?
Bedlam.
Correct. Right, Debbie.
Yeah.
All right, here we are. In The Daemons, what was Bok?
I know.
Was he an imp?
Well, funny you should say that. No. Kirby.
Well, the answer there is going to be Gargoyle, although he was actually a grotesque, if you look up what...
All you have to say is Gargoyle. You don't have to say the answer yet.
But everyone confuses grotesque with Gargoyle.
Right. Shut up. Right then.
A Gargoyle is specifically water drain.
Thank you.
Right. He is right.
I know. Yeah. Shut up. Right. I've got to say what's on the card. She got it right, so what's the problem? Right then.
I'm a pedant.
That was Mary's question, wasn't it?
No.
That was Debbie's question, wasn't it?
My question.
This is therefore Debbie. Kirby's question. Kirby.
Pasta.
Oh, God. Here we go again. Julian Glover, who is in the fourth Doctor story, City of Death, is also HBO epic Game of Thrones, or in it. I think it should say that in HBO epic Game of Thrones. But who does he portray in the fantasy drama Game of Thrones? You won't get this one.
No, I won't.
Okay, so that's...
I have never seen Game of Thrones.
You don't have to elaborate. You just have to say, no, I won't, and we move on to anybody who might
know.
Nobody?
I know.
Go on, then.
Grandmaster Pycelle.
Is the correct answer. 3 points in the bonus pot. Or hang on, for the next card. For this question, I can't believe you lot aren't playing your jokers apart from Debbie. 3 points for this. What was the name of the academy that rogue Time Lord Barusa taught the Doctor at? That's a good question. I like that one. Actually, you got it right, Debbie. I said you won't get this one, so you get double points. But moving on. Sorry, I forgot about that. Why has everyone got quiet? Has a Skype connection stopped or something?
No.
We don't know.
I can guess.
Well, have a guess then.
Prydonian.
You should have played
the Joker. I should have used the Joker, but I wasn't quite sure.
Clearly. Right, so 3 points in the bonus pot. Or was that the bonus pot?
That was a bonus pot.
Yeah,
okay. That was.
Yeah, sorry, you lot are really throwing me this evening. I guess we're going for over until people actually like start the playing their jokers or until I get fed up asking the questions. Where are we? Half past eight. Right. Where are we up to? Right, okay. Next question goes to Mary. And it is this. What is the name of the secret communication network that Harriet Jones uses to contact the 10th Doctor when Davros moves the Earth?
I don't know.
No, that was a difficult one. I was on the verge of saying you won't get this one, but Kirby's on the quiz. Kirby? I mean, sorry, no. Kirby and Debbie?
I don't know.
Do you know,
I
Kirby?
I don't know.
Wow. The answer...
You won't get that one.
I should have said that, but nobody got any extra points for it. The answer was the Subwave Network. Debbie.
Yes.
In The Curse of the Black Spot, what is the name of Henry Avery's son? You won't get this one, because I would never get it.
Jim.
Nope. Kirby should know. It's one of his favourite stories.
Go for it, Kirby. I'm Joker.
I don't know, and
don't care.
It's one of the worst stories of all time. Yeah,
the answer is Toby, by way of tribute to Toby Haydock, very high-ranking friend of the show. Right. So that was the question. Was that was it yours, Debbie?
Yeah.
Right. So therefore, Kirby. McKirby. Right.
McKirby.
Well, I'll do one more round after this. You have to play your jokers, otherwise I'll be deducting points. Right, Kirby.
You should have taken bets anyway.
Kirby, what century is it when the Terrorleptals escape the jails of Raga and become stranded on Earth? So what century is it when that happens?
I don't know.
Oh, and nearly got the countdown music started. A point goes into the bonus box.
I haven't seen that one.
Have you not? Anybody?
No idea.
Okay, the answer is the 1600s. So another point in the bonus box.
I almost said the 17th century, but I wasn't quite sure.
Would have been wrong, that's right.
No.
Well, it would have been right, but that's not what it says on the card. Okay. Right then, so there's 6 points in the bonus pot. If you play your joker on this one, it could mean winning. Sort of. So here's the question for 6/12 points. What does the 10th Doctor describe Bana Cafalata as when he first sees him? A talking conker, a spiky coconut, a hedgehog head, or a blowfish?
I don't remember him saying any of those.
Oh, good lord. Someone going to have a stab to get these six?
A spiky coconut?
Guess what, Deb? So the 6 points stay in the bonus pot. Sorry, listeners, it's not my fault these people have got a severe ineptitude to answering questions about Doctor Who.
Ineptitude, okay.
Right, in last place with 3 points is Mary. In second place with 13 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 17 points, it's Kirby.
Oh, Kirby.
All right, Kirby.
In what might be the last round, if we're lucky. Mary, this is your question. Yes. Which are the only two doctors not to have come face to face with the Cybermen up to the time in which these cards are written, obviously? Actually, it is correct. It is correct.
And these were guests. Mm-hmm. The fourth and the seventh.
Nope. Anybody?
No, I would have said the same.
Well, Kirby should know.
Third and the seventh.
This is interesting, isn't it? Yeah, well, the card is wrong. Mary was wrong. I'm going to go with... No, you're both wrong off the side. Or the card is wrong, but you're both wrong anyway. So we're going to go with that. We'll take that. Right, I'll tell you what the card says. And we'll discuss why it's wrong in a minute. The card says the... Oh, I can't bloody read it. 8th, 9th. 8th and 9th. Well, the 3rd Doctor saw a Cybermen... oh, steady on. The 8th certainly didn't say any, and the 9th certainly.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He saw it during the 5 Doctors.
Yeah, there you go. So that actually is correct. It's not wrong. I tell a lie. Right then, so 8 points now in the bonus part. Or is it 9?
Wow.
9 points, sorry. 9 points in the bonus part. Right, so Debbie.
Harry.
Debbie.
Yes?
Right. I've got to go to bed at some point this evening. What did Donna Noble... notice about bees that helped the doctor realize the earth was in great danger?
They'd gone, they disappeared.
Correct. So, Kirby.
Actually, the bees are recovering, but.
Shut up.
They better be.
Kirby.
Master.
In what section of the universe was the trilogy of the stories Full Circle, State of Decay, and Warrior's Gate set?
Joker.
Hmm?
E-Space.
arrogantly answer the question just to annoy everybody.
I love State of Decay. We're going to watch that again.
Oh, yeah.
God, right, so the next one is a 9-point bonus pot question. If Mary gets right, could change the whole view of this quiz.
Don't forget your joker, Mary.
Change the future of humankind.
Well, sort of, yes, in a small way. Oh, God, it's a very long, easy, difficult question to read. But right then, this is the bonus pot. Nice pot, 9 points, or 18 points if Mary plays a joker. William Shakespeare died in 1616, but which of his plays did the Carrionites embed words into to open a portal and release their evil sisters? And there are four options. Kirby says he knows, so go on then, Kirby, for 3 points without me saying the options.
Love's Labour 1.
What do you mean for 3 points? He gets the bonus pot.
Yeah, that's the bonus question. Okay.
Did I say 3 points?
You said 8 or 9.
All right, okay, he gets a bonus pot then. And I deduct a point from Debbie for being cheeky. No, I won't.
No! We were going on about Mary winning if she got her joker.
Yeah,
and
yeah, all right, shut up. It's very late and I'm very stressed. So, finally, thanks to the I'm interested to see how many people are still watching this after that. One. The final scores are, in last place with 3 points, be 2 points because you didn't play a joker, is Mary. In second place with 15 points, it's Debbie. But surprise, surprise, the leader, when we go back to the old way of playing it, Kirby with 30 points.
Well done, Kirby.
It's quite ironic that we're on the Fantasy Con page and there's nobody watching because it's saving the Fantasy Con news to the end. But what?
You should have had us do the bets because I would not have bet on myself. I would have bet on Debbie, which I think would have kicked Debbie over.
Oh, fine. No. Moving on. Right, then we got to on the live feed. We have Alan T. Butcher said there once was a robot canine. But he's done the quiz. He's done the poem that Debbie is now going to read out.
I don't have it. I can't see it.
Beg your pardon. Oh, so I've got to send it to you. God's sake. It's not as if I don't have enough to do on this blimmin' show. Right. What's your name again? Debbie somebody or other, isn't it? Debbie Mel something. Right. I've sent it to you.
My stuff was on. Okay. Okay. I copied the poem again, which implies that we have read it before. And I'm very sorry.
Stop being cheeky.
There once was a robot canine who often was drawn on a line because his motors would trip and his wheels wouldn't grip, but his nose laser functioned just fine. Like it.
Yes. What else we got? That's about it. Now, Lauren, it said Kirby's very loudly for some reason. I don't know what that was all about. We should really move on. God, where's my fan? I'm getting really hot now. Here it is. Fantasy Gone News. Well, what can I say? We've had an announcement of a guest. Now, I wasn't going to have any more guests. Now, please listen, because it's a very topical, this. I wasn't going to have any more guests. And I did say, unless we got somebody that was a really, really good offer and a good deal, this turned out to be a very good deal for the convention. Look at this. Kirby's going to say her name for me.
Oh, I need to look her up here. Hang on.
That's not name.
All right. Can you pronounce her
name?
No,
but I, when I saw this, I went, wow.
I think let's just say Valil, because the surname is quite difficult to pronounce, unless Debbie's going to
be Chabalala? That's not so hard. Chabalala?
Is it?
Yeah.
Cool name. But yeah, she's lovely. She obviously was... We thought at that stage when she... You know, because obviously when the next Doctor came out... the Doctor just parted with Donna, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. So we thought it was going to be the...
thought that there was a possibility that Rosita, obviously it was called Rosita off because of the Rose connection, and the fact that... what was the next Doctor's name? can't remember the actor's name, but he thought he was the Doctor, so Rosita was the Doctor's companion, and she was absolutely fantastic in that story, wasn't she, Kirby?
She wanted to stay with her Doctor, so there you go.
But it's obviously been loads of other things. A series called Misfits, which I've never heard of, but like everybody Misfits. Raves about. Is it any good, Deb?
Yeah, I like it. Really good.
What's it about? Briefly. Briefly.
I don't really know how to say it.
All right, forget it. I just say Google it, listeners. Google it. Yeah. What else? She's been in Call the Midwife. I watched her this series in Call the Midwife, actually. So she's a cracking actress. She's very versatile. I did post a showreel on the Fantasy Con page.
Sorry for all the noise, guys. Sorry.
Pardon?
There's just a lot of things going on in this room at the moment. I apologise, I'm a bit distracted.
Fanning wind onto the microphone at the moment. Yeah, but she's a great guest and also a female guest, which we were severely lacking in. So that's fantastic for us. I'm really looking forward to having her at the convention.
Yeah, I saw that. I went, wow.
Tom thinks she's very pretty. So, yeah, you might have a decent chaperone
she's
there.
She's pretty, but... Yeah, it's a great showreel. Go to the Fantasy Con page to see the showreel. Sorry?
Wikipedia says Misfits is a British science fiction comedy drama TV show on E4 about a group of young offenders sentenced to work in a community service program where they obtain supernatural powers after a strange electrical storm.
It's like Kirby, it's basically what I was going to say, but I was being distracted by Isla, sorry. It's basically like Heroes, but with a very British twist to it.
Wow, this sounds interesting. I wonder if I can see it somewhere.
You should be able to find it.
Yeah.
It's started a lot of people's careers off and things like that. So yeah, it's been very well received here. And but it is basically Heroes, but just for the disaffected British people.
Okay, back to Fantasy Con news. That's obviously a very big bit of information. We also have
it's coming soon.
The Anxiety Cafe, or Breathing Space by Anxiety Cafe. VJ Clark's brainwave of having an anxiety room at the convention has come to fruition thanks to the Anxiety Cafe Independent Arts. Hopefully it won't be needed. That's the idea, but
we'll all be
needed.
Chilling out in there, to be perfectly honest.
No, it's not for you to chill out. It's a serious space for people who need to chill out. So you're not allowed in it.
You'll need it.
I probably will need it. The carnival season has kicked off on the Isle of Wight, and FantasyCon has had a representation at two of them so far. We had Newport Carnival, where four lovely young ladies went around and gave out leaflets during the carnival for us in fantastic cosplay, and they won prize for the best children's walking costumed people. So I don't know if that means that the event, we can now say FantasyCon is a award-winning convention. I'd have to ask the girls if they can sort of share it with us, if that's the case. But fantastic. And then last night, on Saturday night, at the Sandown Carnival, we had four different people in that's amazing cosplay, just the same as the girls on Saturday. Thursday, sorry.
They were terrific, weren't they?
Giving out leaflets during Sandown Carnival. I will say that anybody, and there's nobody watching, but anybody might want to listen, we are intending next to do the Shanklin Carnival, which is on the 7th of August, and I actually might be able to attend that one. So that would be really cool. So, yeah. So carnivals are great for cosplay, and they're almost as good as convention, but not quite. You don't have to obviously have us there or you won't have fun. Well, you will. I will say the girls said they had great fun doing those walkabouts on the convention. I don't know if they expect to do, but they certainly did. They're almost like walking conventions, but they don't last as long.
Carnivals are fun. They really are. They seem to be
long live carnivals. And we have a heavy connection, obviously, with Cows Carnival, because Cows Carnival are attending FantasyCon. We will be in Cow's Carnival, illuminated after the Saturday evening, because we've got an extension to 7 p.m.
I'm pull out the robot, you know, the droid that I did last year, I think, for that. That'll be fun.
I'm going to have to get some cosplay for it now, which is going to be interesting. God knows what I'm going to get, and because Deb will say I haven't got enough money, so it's going to be awkward. Doctor Who news. Now, there's a new graphic that I did share on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Oh, that's
Facebook
lovely.
Group.
I like that.
Yeah, that's great.
Of all the Doctors. It says all 13 Doctors, but there's actually more than 13 in the picture, which is quite interesting, because I've got the War Doctor there. We also had this.
I dropped the book.
Oh dear. We had the centenary of John Pertwee's birth. Can you believe it? The British Museum podcast highlighted Doctor Who exhibit, which is a £10 note with David Tennant, a la the Doctor before getting his suit. There's a book to be released by Pencil Tip Publishing called Target Trawl. I presume it's about the Target range. What else has got to happen there? We've got audio, which I'm not going to play. The Torchwood Serenity, the big Finnish production, which is coming out soon, with John Barrowman and Gareth David Lloyd, who may appear at a future Fantasy Con, if indeed we have one.
I hope so.
So do I, but we'll see how this one goes first. Doctor Who Magazine 541 is out with Patrick Troughton on the cover. And you can get that through whowon.co.uk. Who are still open?
Whowon.co.uk?
Not only are they still open, I'm still in negotiations to get them into FantasyCon for the Sunday. So that's
Why did you keep saying they were closed when they were still open?
Because we're not. I explained this last time.
We thought they were closed because they implied that they'd shut. You know,
When I went to see them, I got my cardboard cutouts of the Cybermen off them, which was in April. They said they were likely to only stay open for a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
I was told that by Nick himself, so that's why I thought they were shut. Does that answer your question, Kirby?
Why don't you just go next door and check to see what they are?
He only does that now that I can't deduct any points off him. And even if I did, it wouldn't make much difference. Right then, whowon.co.uk, where we have coming soon items. Alien Werewolf in London, a big Finnish production. God Among Us 3, a Torchwood big Finnish production. A book called Just War, stock number NA0410, which is looks like a new adventures book, actually. Oh, no, it's a Bernice Summerfield adventure. So, again, Who Won are the book experts for Doctor Who. And if you love your Doctor Who novels, whether it be official or, you know, unofficial, that's where to get them from. Lavazzi, still in negotiations to get some Lavazzi stuff at the event. I do need to email Meninda about that. But if you can't come to FantasyCon, you can still get your Season 18 scarf. It's very topical, from lavazzi.co.uk. I've nearly come to the end of what I was going to say now. I wonder if any. Oh, we've got two viewers now. My God. Lillian Robin said, "Sorry, my connection dropped." That's what she said, Lillian. And then she says, "Misfits is on Hulu, apparently." Alan C. Butcher said, "Young offenders doing community service acquire superpowers." And then Lillian Robin said, "I'm watching." Thank you, Lynn. You must be the one or two that are on the thing. Right, I'm just going to refer to my notes. You talk amongst yourselves for 5 seconds.
Debbie?
Four.
Yeah?
Three.
There are, two. If you're going to do the questions, there are 20 stories that we have not ever done before. Otherwise,
19 now, though, hey? 19 now, Kirby.
No, I can't. I just took this week's off.
I should have known that, shouldn't I? I should deduct myself a point for getting that one wrong.
But the next one that
if we have not questions, that only leaves me and Kirby to give the answer.
No, I mean Adam come into the game.
Adam has to play. That would be okay.
The next one
we did that a while back, remember?
Yes,
we did. He didn't like it, so he took the questions back.
Debbie.
Yeah.
The next one that we have never done will be full circle.
Okay, so I'm not to do any questions until full circle then.
Well, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
you could do hey, that's the thing, you could do questions for next time.
This is riveting listening for the listeners, great viewers.
I'm not going to go diving into the archives and looking up past questions.
Well, I'm not going to after what happened, but
yeah.
Good grief. Right then, what I suggest next week, if it's okay with you, that we do it at 7:30.
Yeah, it's fine by me.
Simply because I've got a photo shoot at 6:00 and I'd like to still record next week.
But that means you're going to be past your bedtime.
What? Talk about me?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, no, it's just that you're always saying it's late. I'm
No, it's late because I should. Well, obviously, everybody else in the house is in bed. I've got to have a bath, and I've got some work to do while perhaps watching back episodes of Big Bang Theory. I don't know. I haven't decided what I'm going to watch.
So we're talking the fourth.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for. Where we'll be watching and reviewing Megloths. Yes, Debbie.
Should I do the questions? Ignore Kirby. Should I do the questions for this one?
If you wish to, I don't mind. You can do that if you like.
That means you're going to be a contestant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still have the scoreboard in front of me.
Oh, and he can cheat.
Yeah, that's true.
I can cheat the scores, but I can't cheat when it comes to answering the questions.
So at 7:30, that is 2:30 to us. Instead of it's on my calendar.
Yes, of course. If the photo shoot gets cancelled, we'll do it at the normal time. Megloth. Oh, so
we have to be ready early, and you have to warn all of the viewers.
Huh?
We're not going to be ready early. It's 7:30, not seven. 6:30.
What are you lot talking about?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, all right. When you do your post for feedback, you can say recording half an hour later than normal. Is that all right? That should be complicated for people, should it? So, that's it next week then. Megloths. And,
hey!
Did you sneeze?
It's cactus time, huh? Again.
Yeah, we've seen this because this is one I've reviewed with you guys before, so it's good to have a look.
In context, in order, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
As we plod through the end of the Tom Baker era.
So,
thank you for dipping into the show on the FantasyCon page. Keep tuned for news about the event. Oh, I did forget something, actually. I wonder if I can... No, I can't. On what radio, there's an advert coming out on Wednesday for FantasyCon because it's going to be the interactive weekend for next weekend. And I'm not allowed to play the brilliant advert that they've done for it. So, guys, if you want to listen to Isle of Wight Radio for a while from Wednesday onwards, you might catch the adverts. You might have to listen to it for a long time. I'm not allowed to play it on the show for licensing reasons. But you can listen to Isle of Wight Radio around the world via TuneIn. I think it's an app called TuneIn. You might even be able to listen to it via...
Can I check something?
What?
Can I check something live?
What, if you can get Isle of Wight Radio on TuneIn?
Yeah, Echo.
Oh, for God's sake.
Play Isle of Wight Radio on TuneIn.
Isle of Wight Radio from TuneIn.
I don't even think, Kirby, you have to say on TuneIn, because they keep advertising FM and on smart speaker, so you should be able to just say play Isle of Wight Radio.
I can try that.
No, this is not Echo, riveting stop. To our viewers and listeners.
Echo.
We've lost one already.
Well, Kirby, this is not interesting, everybody.
I had it stop.
I did say it's you can listen to it worldwide. It's just for people who from Wednesday onwards, I think for 4 days, you will hear fairly regularly on Isle of Wight Radio the advert for FantasyCon. And that would be quite fun to listen to because it's really, really good advert. So 50-second advert. Actually, it's nearly a minute, and they said 50 seconds, so it's quite a long advert for them. And thank you to Paul Topping and Jamie White for doing the voices on it. Fantastic stuff. So listen out for it from Wednesday onwards.
That should get some more interest, definitely. Are we going to do a meetup as well about behind the scenes stuff?
At some point, yes.
Cool.
Me, Roy and Deb are having a meeting this week in regards to finances and stuff. And things like things we need to get, like fencing and things like that. So there's sort of a little finer detail meeting we're having this week. But it's interesting, isn't it, Ben?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Again, I don't plan to have any more guests, but sometimes things come along that become a bit difficult to refuse.
Well, we've got Billy Kirkbright coming along.
Yes, and he's bought a VIP ticket. He's the only person who's bought a VIP ticket. So if he ends up being the only person to buy a VIP, he's going to be a proper VIP. We'll have to get him a table and a few Sharpies and a little tin for his money so he can sign autographs of people if it becomes that he is the only VIP guest.
Oh, the VIP.
That's unusual, because usually lots of conventions over here sell out the VIPs pretty quickly.
Come on, we've talked about the fact that we have the problem, everyone thinks we're something to do with last year's con that went tits up and things like that. So
you say tits on my show then.
Yeah. Yes, I just say tits, yes, but I used it in different contexts.
Yeah.
They're waiting to see if we're any good. Next year we'll sell out a VIP ticket. Yeah, that's the way it works.
On the preemption that obviously is going to be good, and that people come away for saying it was good, next year's one is likely to be quite similar, but hopefully with more people coming. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But you've already got all the guests that you could possibly get.
Oh, I've already got in mind guests for next time, if it happens. Okay, so we're always talking about next year and stuff like that. So but that's it. Anyway, so next week, Megloss. Thank you for listening, watching the show. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
The 20MB Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.
Hello, I'm Colin Baker. You lucky people are listening to the 20MB Doctor Who podcast, the best podcast on the pod.